set up the character. I do think the one thing about the A plot for me, and I realized it as we were talking about it, and you were bringing up just how close it was to Revelations, because I also, like, I grew up with Catholic schools, like, this is stuff that is very, like, right at the forefront of my brain. It did seem like they were pulling it right out of that kind of phraseology. And
well, especially when they're saying all that stuff, the this and that of the beast, and it's like,
and like,
come
the
on.
Devil, and like, I'm not the devil. Yeah, there's a lot of that. And it does feel like they're kind of flattening out what was earlier in the season and at the end of last season felt like kind of an interesting mystery of like, what exactly is this character and why, like, this role she's supposed to take.
Flattening it out is like the perfect way to describe what it feels like they're doing.
Yeah.
It's like, you've got like a bunch of interesting ideas and it's like, let's just
make
mush
it
this down.
Yeah. Like a Messiah or like Christ Antichrist sort of dichotomy with them. And it does feel, it doesn't feel quite as interesting anymore. Even the judging, like, they set up this idea of her judging, and like, as soon as she decides, you know, she sees someone doing something wrong and her brain kind of snaps on and wants to, you know, do her form of justice, which is kind of an interesting idea. But yeah, like having the two of them be, I don't know. I think, like I said, it feels kind of like they took a more interesting idea and then sort of flattened it.
Hey, just while I'm thinking about it, speaking of the rain stuff and just this episode, I would like to point out two things that were, as we've been keeping track of these throughout this season, things that felt completely lifted from other previous DC
things. We know
there
are certain, there's at least a few audience members
who are keeping track,
that are keeping an eye or an ear out for us to say something about it. So go on.
So the scene where Rain first kind of shows up, where she's doing that, attacking the bad guys who are doing a bad guy deal down at the docks, feel, and the way that it's shot and the way they're all scared and running around and the way she's like swooping down like Batman all feels like 100% lifted from where that exact same thing happens in Batman Begins. Didn't feel at all like she was doing someone with super with Kryptonian powers stuff. It felt like I was like, is she a giant bat monster? Is she like a pterodactyl? Are her powers not just Kryptonian style powers? But then, of course, once they're done with that scene, then she just walks straight into places and does Kryptonian style stuff.
Yeah,
so it's
that part really was like, it was very off.
All of the parts with her, I will give Melissa, whose name I'm not sure how to pronounce, her last name I'm not sure how to pronounce,
Kara. Yeah.
Melissa, who plays Supergirl, I'll give her tons of credit for it. It's like, there's obvious stuff where you can tell when they switch to the stunt double, but like, she has had, you know, three seasons worth of getting better at doing fight scenes and stunt work and practicing this stuff, where a lot of times in the fight stuff, it's like for as best as we can tell, there's stuff where it's really her and you go like, man, she does a good job at this. On the other hand, this actress who has not been doing fight scenes for three seasons on a wire work special effects TV show,
it's way more, yeah,
it's way one, and also who has a great big mask on that like really makes it easy to cover up the stunt double's face. But the parts where you really can tell that it's her supposed to be fighting, especially those scenes where they were having that office fight, which I both liked and disliked.
Yeah, I almost like the fact that the music didn't cut out. I feel like, I'm like, good on you for just like letting that weird, eerie, like, moment of cheerful music. Yeah, I appreciate the choice.
It was like that when they were fighting, though, it felt like two normal people fighting because they were just kind of like hitting and blocking. And it's like, okay, she does not know how to do fights very well. So they're having to like move the camera a lot and keep it at a distance when you can tell it's the suddenly the fighting gets better and it's the stunt double. But the stuff where it was like in close and they really want you to see that it's both of them punching at each other. And it's all just very like punch, block, punch, block, punch, block. And they're just kind of like walking forwards or backwards or whatever. And part of me is going, oh man, if they're punching each other, it should be like hitting and then just like windows exploding or them like knocking each other like through the roof is what one part of me says. But then another part of me kind of appreciates the fact that then they just sort of let them have a practical fight where it kind of harkens back to older superhero stuff where people would get in fights and they didn't have the budget or the CGI to have them suddenly just, you know, flying all over the place. So it's like when she hit her or threw her or whatever, and she just slid all the way across that table.
Yeah.
I was like, this makes it look cheap or like they don't have as big a budget, but it's also kind of fun to me because it like harkens back a little bit to
there's some nostalgia there.
Yeah, there's like a little bit of nostalgia there. And also the part where Kara punches the Christmas ice sculpture and it just explodes. I was like, okay, that's great. And but that's just like that's an easy effect to do. You know, that's not like a it doesn't all have to be huge, big flying around special effects. And the part with her getting thrown down the table with Rain getting thrown down the table was great because it's like it obviously she went so much further than you could really throw someone because the table is like extra long and she just keeps going down it and knocking all the stuff off of it. And I was like, that's a fun thing. But then the other thing that was like a thing from a movie, just before I forget about that, was the way they did the scene with Kara having to go to the hospital, like from that thing they put on their mouth to like try to do resuscitation. Just all of that stuff was all felt very reminiscent of that same part that happens in Superman Returns after he has fallen from a great height and then crashes in the middle of the city. The only difference here was that in Superman Returns, they did that scene where they pulled his costume off and you get to see how buff his chest is. And I was like, they are definitely not about to do that on this show.
Yeah, they are not. so I will say I'm kind of torn about this because on one hand, I can appreciate the fact that they actually said, okay, to show that that this is like a bad guy that means business and is like super formidable, we're going to have, without the use of like kryptonite to weaken her, we're going to have her bleed. Like, that's how strong this character is. And in some ways, I'm like, you know, good on them for going there, for actually like for having the gutsiness to show the character just from like one-on-one fight with a bad guy actually bleed. The problem is that means that like they can't do this again. So this better be a really, really good like villain, because like if it ends up being kind of a flimsy villain in the second part of the season, then they've wasted like this really big card to play that I don't think that they can play again, or else it will be like, oh well, here's another character that can make like the unbeatable Supergirl bleed. So I don't know, like in some ways I'm kind of impressed that they went there, but just to like up the stakes,
it was definitely then, a like, shock. I without instinctively let out an expletive because it wasn't just like a little blood, it was like
it was an actual head wound.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I hated about that though, was the fact that that happened from Rain hitting Kara with something that she just picked off from like the debris.
Yeah.
And it's like, which made me question what was going on, because I was like, okay, does someone have kryptonite around here? Is there like a bad guy has done something? Because it's like that thing when she hit her with it, it's like Kara was getting up and she sees that little, she sees that little girl and she's like, everybody get back. And then Rain hits her in the side of the head with it and she falls down, you know, and then she's like getting back up. And you could have that be like where she's woozy or something, but like she, even if she's getting beat up, her skin, she's still a Kryptonian. It's not like they, just because they get beat up, their skin all gets weaker. It's like that rebar would have hit and either like bent around her head, or the concrete or whatever that was still attached to it would have just exploded. Like, if they had had Rain punching her until her face is all bloody, and like, I guess they kind of don't want, that's like a little much for the show.
Yeah, but they punched a lot, and then like...
No, they did punch a lot, like, but I'm saying like doing that thing where she's just getting punched in the face until like her face is getting bloody. Like, which
so
is...
So like the Martha moment. Like,
Yeah. If you have that, then it's like you go, okay, this is Kryptonian on Kryptonian violence that, you know, you get like Rain's fist is harder than Rebar because she's Kryptonian, right?
I know.
I know.
I have to stop with that. No more Kryptonian violence.
There's only three of you guys. We have to stop this. We cannot have you guys doing this.
Oh, man. Sorry. It's really late, you guys.
Or if she had it, like, if she got that head wound, you know, from the blasting her with the heat vision or something. Or just,
yeah,
like...
But it's, yeah, no, I totally get what you mean.
I know. I'm getting hung up on something that ultimately doesn't matter. Yeah. But... I just had to say it because it's in my brain.
But the larger point, too, is that, again, you can't play, like, this is the reason why Kryptonite is seen as kind of like a cheap move to throw into your super story, because it's used so often as like the easy way to weaken a super family character.
Sorry, did you say easy or lazy?
I think I said easy, even though lazy would have been.
Yeah,
they're almost synonyms for this particular sentence. But that's the thing. So like, you have this moment of Kara, like, oh, Kara has met her physical match, but that means that, like, you can't use this again.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And depending on how they get rid of Rain, it could end up putting too much expectation on how the clever way the writer is going to stop her by the end of the season.
I've stopped hoping for cleverness.
But that's the thing. Like, so you have this like character, like, oh, this character's next level in terms of her power set, like. She can beat Kara until Kara bleeds. So if or when they fail to have a smart way of dealing with this bad guy, it's going to be a really big bummer because they set the bar so high. I was not as surprised by this ending scene, only because people on Twitter, on my Twitter, had posted like the picture of her looking bloody and being like, oh dang.
Yeah.
So I already knew it was coming, but it is like, I think there is something to just how like intense and dark the season has been.
Reflection of the times, perhaps.
Perhaps.
What I was gonna, I was just gonna say, like, yeah. Can we talk about just real quick how, like, I really felt like that was some serious BS that Alex says to her right before she goes off for the fight when she's like, yeah, I know I've been trying to get you to blah, 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 your humanity, but be alien, be cold and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, Kryptonians were not like, we've seen them hang, like, we've seen flashbacks to Krypton, and it's like her parents loved her and were like, this idea that it's like, This has been a
problem though the whole season.
Yeah, but it's like
where Kara has been the one setting this up, you know.
And it's wrong and bad and like BS, and also seems like kind of like almost like, you know, like borderline racist against a fictional group of people. You know what I mean? Well, where it's like they're not
I mean,
you know, they're not that. You weren't like that when you showed up. You know, I mean, yeah, their culture's a little different, but it's like, we've seen flashbacks where it's like you hung out with your cousin Cal and you guys were playing around and you loved your mom and dad and they loved you. And like, it was not like, Krypton was like advanced, but it was not like this, like, it's not like in some of the versions of Krypton they've done where it was like sterile and emotionless and, you know, everything was just science based. It's like, that's not how you've done it at all. Yeah, it's like ignoring what the show has done. It's like you're ignoring your own, the mythology you've already built to no good end.
Yeah.
You could have had Alex say, and again, it's one of those things where it's just, one, it doesn't make sense with what you've already established on the show, but two, it's, you could have had Alex say so many other things that could have sort of got the same point across. It just, that rung really, you know, wrong to me. Like, it just was like, what is she saying? This is, or unless they just had her say that to, like, then set up the point later where it's like, no, it's not the Kryptonian that matters. It's your humanity is what's going to help you beat her, and trusting in your friends and blah, 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 blah.
Which is probably what's going to.
Yeah. As I thought of it, I was like, oh, this is what they're going to do.
Especially once they figure out who Rain is, which I'm sure is going
to
happen.
Oh yeah. Her daughter's going to have to show up. And
Yeah. We've already talked about this, that this is clearly what's setting it up, that like her heart is going to be what frees her mom is
gonna
from this.
The daughter's gonna show up wearing that Supergirl necklace, and she's gonna see it, and it's like, mom, come on, don't kill Supergirl, and then it's gonna snap her out of it.
Yeah.
And, oh, what am I doing? And then she's gonna have to do something to sacrifice herself, or she's gonna go to the future with them to help. So, because they can't just kill her because she's like a mom and we care about her as a human, you know, like as a mother, and she's got this family.
That would actually be, I mean, I hate to say that would be interesting, because that means that the Mon-El thing would stay around the whole season, but it would be kind of interesting for her and her daughter to then like travel to the future, because they've already set up this idea that like they've had to travel multiple times and it's been tough on the daughter, but like they've made it through and they like their lives have been better because they've been willing to like to go
oh man they
places.
Even set up that
like,
thing today
point.
On not today we watched it today they set up that thing
we
on this episode where they were like how long
remember when we had
well like
to,
that
yeah.
She was talking about how long the trip took, and it's like, well, now we're gonna go to sleep for a thousand years.
I could totally see
that's what they're gonna
that.
Do
but yeah that means that I'm not even that bummed out about that part. I'm bummed out about like, oh, that means they're gonna drag on this
for
this,
so
like,
long
love triangle that nobody, that literally the characters don't want to be in.
Could they not just work opposite shifts while they're having to hang out at the DEO, or like just
wow
something get something. Just something, get them out of each other's hair. They don't have to keep running into each other.
Oh, I thought you were saying something awful. I thought you were saying that Saturn Girl and Supergirl should take shifts with Mon-El.
No! Like, oh, Lord. No, no.
I was like, holy crap.
This is a totally different... I did not expect this. No, I'm saying, like, keep Future Boy and Saturn Girl away from... Just go like, hey, guys, could y'all hang out? This is a big building. You guys do not have to keep coming to this room... Where super also, man, this episode really enforces that thing that just never meet your heroes, because they're gonna hate you or it's gonna go bad. It's just, I felt so bad for Saturn Girl, because she's like spent, you know, so long going like, oh Supergirl's so great, and she's so excited to meet her, and then she meets her and she can just feel the hate waves coming off of her, and it's like, mm-hmm, nice to meet you, yeah, you seem very nice, and it's like, oh no,
yeah. Yeah, I was feeling for her the entire
Which is,
episode.
Hey, it's pretty good like, if they make you feel... I'll give them that. It's pretty good if they make you feel bad for the other woman in this thing.
That's what I'm saying. They did a really good job of making... Of being like, oh yeah, everybody hates... Like, everybody is in this awkward position and it's
nobody's the bad guy.
This sucks. Nobody's the bad guy. Except for Rain.
But who also is not like... Why make us...
Like, yeah... Like, so do you want to, the last scene is of her daughter on Christmas coming down and being like, mom, Merry Christmas. And then be like, mom. And here's the thing. You can't tell if it's her in her Rain costume.
Well, there's no cape.
Or if she's just wearing.
She didn't have like the whole.
What?
She didn't. And there's nothing on her hands, which the Rain costume has sort of like gauntlets and like those, that thing that comes down around her thumb.
And even, like, the black, she had on, like, long sleeve, like, a black look, but it was hard to tell if those were pajamas or her
it
costume.
Could be her costume minus the cape and the mask, or it could just be her, like, yoga outfit.
So I'm honestly wondering if if what they're doing is like a way too long cliffhanger of her then like as she's turning around being like, oh hi honey, how are you doing, Merry Christmas.
They show her hand like twitching a little or something, don't they?
Yeah, but that could have been like reflexive or like her in a daze, but like still not.
Why is she so tired? Even if it's like she's being Rain and has no memory of it, it's like Supergirl does not get tired from just doing normal stuff half the day. And
well, I think it's because she thinks she's asleep while she's
Kryptonians don't really have to sleep,
and she's
they do it because it seems normal, but like they don't they can go on.
Wait, have we actually established this in like Supergirl?
I think
canon?
So. I think they said something about this at some point where she's like, maybe I am pulling in just some super knowledge, but it's maybe. Like
I didn't think they did. And it could just be because like or maybe it's because she is subconsciously resisting
murdering
all those people.
Since we've got a while before the show comes back, let's say that, like, what would you, ideal scenario, if they put you in charge, or if they, like, what would you like to see happen with all of these sort of dangling plot lines that they've left us with here on this cliffhanger? This is something I wish I had thought to ask on other times when we've had cliffhangers. Because we've got a nice break here, and also, hey, listeners, if you'd like to write in and tell us what you would like to see happen in the next half of the season, by all means, send those tweets to us at KICTM Podcast, or you can email the show, keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com, put Supergirl Gab in the headline, the header, the subject line, whatever. You know what I mean. I'm putting you on the spot here, but yeah, what would you like to see?
I know, that's the thing. I kind of don't like any of these plot lines, well, so I don't really have
you
like,
gotta work
a better
with,
you
gotta work
than
with what
how
they've
we...
given you. They've just hired you. Since some other people have recently been fired, they're like, we need some fresh voices on the show.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so I honestly think that the Rain story, like idea of her going to the future, is honestly probably one of the better ones, like one of the better ideas we've had. Even though I know that you kind of groaned
well,
at it,
I just,
but like for
I,
me,
I
at
hate
least
when
it,
I can see where something is going.
When you can see it coming, yeah.
Which, funny enough, I'm not as good at it with this show as you are for some reason. But normally, that's the thing. It's like people who have known me for a long time and like who go to see movies and stuff with me know that it's like I've got this thing in my brain that I can't, that I can't turn off unless a movie is like really engaging me, where I'm just going like, oh boy, here we go. This is about to happen. And like on the old show that I did, the Gravity Falls Gosper, when we would go see movies and talk about that kind of stuff, Eugene would always just be like, he would say about how, you know, he was always just kind of like amazed that it's like, how did you know that was about to happen? I'm like, I don't know. It seems like as clear as day to me that this is like where they're going with something. So I get tired. I love being surprised by something, by like TV stuff and, you know, movies and things like that. So it's interesting. I think that I have such, I'm always like so hoping for the best with this show that it's like my brain tries to not do that. But clearly you have just got the gift when it comes to this show.
I mean, I hate to say, but I'd be like, I bring Cat Grab back. And I know this is like shooting.
Yeah, no, go for
stuff,
it.
But I would bring like Calista Flockhart back.
I think she'll be back by the end of the season for like at least one episode or two.
I feel like she... I just want her back. Like, so that's not even like taking care of any of the plot points.
Well, I figure she'll have to come back to take over Catco when Lena has to go back to taking over L Corp because,
because Rain's not there to.
What's her name? What's her real name on the show? Sam?
Sam
and Ruby. Sam. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what to do with the Jimmy Kara thing or with the Jimmy Lena thing. If you were asking me this like two episodes ago, I would just have been like what I said before, where like, oh, they're actually just working together really well as colleagues and they're not actually leading to romance that I'm pretty sure is going to happen. But now that that has been like dropped in my lap, I honestly don't know what to do.
I think
with them.
I would
don't know what to do.
I would treat this. I would have, and especially since, as we established, whatever happened with that kiss was over very quickly. I would say that, you know, they sort of like, even though we didn't see it, they just had that sort of realization like, whoa, what are we doing? This, we shouldn't do this. And, you know, this is just like a weird, there's a lot of stuff going on. And then you have them establish that friendship and go like, you know, like, obviously you're attractive, you know, but like, this isn't a good thing for us, especially how closely we're working together. We should keep this professional. And it's like, and just try to be a good teammates, friends, whatever, and then build from there. And then maybe you go with that. And then at the end of the season or next season, even maybe, after you've established that show them working really well together, then you can kind of like start dropping little hints that there's like, oh, maybe they are starting to see a little bit of that spark come back. And then it's like, hey, okay, open season.
Yeah, I could see that. It'd still be pretty clunky, and it would be really obvious that like we're seeing
yeah.
ship, like far away.
Having to work with what they've given us, though.
With what they've given us, yeah. And then in terms of the Mon-El and Satter Girl stuff, I would really like to see, even though Kara is like hurting really bad, it would be really cool if Saturn Girl and Supergirl became friends.
Yes.
And like, and they found common ground, and they're just like, look, yeah, we're in this like really awful, awkward situation that is none of our faults, but also I want to do the best to help you while I'm here, and I really admire you and I want to learn from you. And if you know, it would be really nice to see them have a friendship that you know, gets past the fact that they both have this like person in between them. I'm also like, I'm a really big fan of subverting the tropes in terms of love triangles, and especially when it's like two women and one man in a love triangle, and having those two women be friends. That's like one of my favorite subversions of that trope. Which if anybody like followed me on Twitter when season one of Supergirl, that was exactly why I was happy when Lucy and Kara became friends. But yeah, that's kind of what I would hope for, at least, is that outside of each of their relationships with Mon-El, that those two characters actually find common ground and are able to kind of get past like this awful situation.
You know what I'd really like to see?
What?
Is this season all leads up to Supergirl has to go to the future to join and lead, you know, inspire whatever, the Legion of Superheroes. And the next season is all just set in the 31st century.
That's not gonna happen.
It's in outer space and it's just wild. And there's...
I mean, the production budget alone is just not going to happen.
I said we could shoot for the moon.
Yeah, I know, shoot for the moon.
Which, of course, I do not want to see that happen with the kind of budget that they had on Mars, on the one episode where they went to Mars, where it's all just like one room
that they kept.
And I don't want to see it if it's like that, but in my ideal... Oh, the fourth season is animated. I forgot to mention that.
Oh,
it'll just, when they go to the future, everyone's animated, and...
Because that's cheaper.
Well, the sets are cheaper, at least. You can, I mean, the show would be expensive, but...
And also take way longer.
Yeah.
Way longer.
But, you know, I think ultimately it's really going to be worth it. And and then it crosses over with the Legion of Superheroes cartoon that already exists. Where they're on, you know, they're in alternate universes, and then they cross over and they have to fight Imperiex. And
I would like to point out, we should also point out that what's going to complicate things that we know of, you did hear one of the other Legion of Superhero members who is showing up on the show, right?
Now, I feel like I did, but I feel like I remember hearing
like
about this.
The future heroic Brainiac.
Ooh. See?
Whatever, Brainiac number,
he's
whatever.
He's Brainiac 5 in Legion, classically.
Okay, yeah. So...
And of course, and...
And we all know... That you, when you brought up the cartoon, yeah. That's why I was like, oh, that reminds me. So that will also kind of throw a potential wrench into this ridiculous no one wants to be in this love triangle, love triangle.
Love rectangle.
Potentially. Love rectangle, love parallelogram.
Love quadrangle. So. Yeah.
Parallelogram? Yeah,
parallelogram.
Okay, that was it. Okay. I was an English major, so.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we probably talked this episode to death.
Yeah, we talked way more about this episode than I was
expecting.
Every
time, I think we're not, so, I don't have much to say about one of these episodes. It's like we end up going off into some very fun, interesting places, I think. And that's the fun thing about...
Well, some of this episode just made us sad, so we
you gotta go somewhere with it, yeah.
Expelling that. Yeah, that's all I got for this.
Katie, tell everybody all the stuff that's in the show notes for where they can find you.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at JustPlainTweets. I am also a comic writer, and the pre-orders for my graphic novel, The Cardboard Kingdom, are up now. It's coming out on June 5th. Besides that, I have another podcast with Elle Collins through their Intuit feed, but we do Crystal Clods together. And also, we did a... I went on to the regular Intuit podcast recently, and continuing my trend of doing a podcast episode about a movie where the podcast episode is longer than the movie's runtime, we talk for... over 2 hours about the Christmas classic White Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's our like our shared favorite Christmas movie and one of Elle's like period favorite movies. And so
I've never even seen it.
It was a very special. It is one of my favorite. It is very funny, and the dancing and music is great, and it tugs at my heartstrings every year. I never get through that movie without crying because it's so sweet.
Oh, so because it's sweet, but, not because it's tragic or sad.
No, because it's super, it's very sentimental, and it's very much about helping people you care about. Like, that's kind of the core message. But along the way, it's also, like, super funny, and the costumes are amazing. And, yeah, so, like, literally, Elle and I talked about this for 2 hours a couple weeks ago, and it just went up. It just went up in the last couple days. So if you are traveling during the holidays and you need something to listen to during your road trip, I have you covered this Christmas. And then besides that, I'm trying to think there's anything else. It's
you have a Patreon.
Like I do have a Patreon. Thank you, because I always forget. patreon.com/justplainsomething. And on top of that, because we mentioned that we both went to see that Star Wars that's out right now, I have a YouTube series called Driving Home the Movie, and we most recently went to see Last Jedi, but we also saw Shape of Water not too long ago, and before that we reviewed Justice League, so check those out too.
You could listen to those in the car, but don't watch them in the car if you're driving. I guess you could watch them if you're just a passenger. It's okay, but please don't drive and watch.
Or like if you have them, as long as you're not looking at them, as you can play them and listen to them, but then don't look
right,
at the screen.
Right.
And just, yeah.
I saw someone literally behind me at a stoplight the other day, or this the other night, because it was dark enough where I could see how bright the screen on their phone was.
Ooh.
On one of those little holders, but they clearly just had it on YouTube or like Netflix or something. It was right in front of, like, right, almost blocking the steering wheel a little bit. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what have we done? We've gone too far.
We've gone too far.
So you can follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. And please do. Please do follow it. Because when we tweet about stuff, you'll know. You can retweet it, and that'll be helpful. You can follow me at the Chris Haley. You can go to get all these show notes at keepitclosetome.com. I have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/thechrishaley. I just put up a bonus episode for all my patrons that is the full-length feature commentary I recorded for Attack of the Clones back with Eugene, back when we did that other show, which is just a ton of fun. And we got a little, much like when we're doing some of these things where we talk about stuff for too long, you just start getting kind of like loopy and punch drunk and silly. And I think a lot of times that's very fun to listen to. So that's up there for them, and you can get stuff in the mail, all that kind of stuff. What in the world else? Oh, I'm going to put this in the show notes, but just since you were talking about YouTube series and we were talking about YouTube things for absolutely no reason, I made a tips and trick life hack video that I posted on my YouTube. I just planned on showing it to my wife because it was for her. But trying to help her hack her life a little bit. She said that I should show everyone because she thought it was very funny. So I'm going to put it in the show notes and you guys can check it out.
Okay.
Teaches you how to, I shouldn't, maybe I won't say.
No, surprise. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's about all I got. Thank you guys all so much for listening, for retweeting and telling people about the show. It's absolutely the best thing you can do to help the show out if you enjoy it. All that kind of stuff. Happy holidays to everyone. I don't know if you'll be hearing this before or after Christmas, probably after, but still, I think we all hope that you have a, we all hope you have a good holiday time.
Happy holidays, Chris.
Yeah, happy holidays, Katie. And I guess we'll see you guys the next time for more Supergirl Gab.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Okay, I can hear you
okay,
now.
Okay, you can hear me now?
The only thing I could hear was you were like that no one's the bad guy and that's something, and then it just like went silent. And I thought you were like pausing to think about.
No, I think I kept going a little bit and then you didn't say anything. And
yeah,
then
it just
like
it went completely silent. And
yeah, I
checked, I was like, everything's still going.
Crashed or something. Is there anywhere you want me to, how do you want to do this?